This is God's words. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasure possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. Amen. Let's pray. O great God of highest heaven, we praise you this morning because you are a great and powerful God. But we also praise you this morning that even though you are great and you are powerful, you care for us. Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? We ask that question as we see your greatness, but we're thankful that you do care for us. We thank you that you know every hair on our head this morning. And we thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us today. And so give us hearts and ears to listen to your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So in December 2015, Karam and Katari Chand from Bradford celebrated their 90th wedding anniversary. Not 90th wedding anniversary. They are officially the world's longest married couple. They were married in India on the 11th of December, 1925, and they have 8 children, 27 grandchildren, and 23 great-grandchildren. So that's a family over 60. Can you imagine buying Christmas presents for them all? They must be in debt every year. Anyway, if you think about it, that's an amazing achievement, 90 years. They've been faithful to one another over 90 years, nearly a century. And that's something that we should celebrate, because this kind of fidelity and faithfulness is very rare in our culture today. We live in a world, don't we, of unfaithfulness. Every day there are stories, aren't there, of people cheating on each other. Divorce rates are through the roof as promises that were made on wedding days are thrown on the scrap heap. We live on in a world of broken promises, don't we, from politicians to the common man. We live in an unfaithful generation. However, the Bible calls us, doesn't it, in the face of this, to be faithful. So what does that mean as we just kick into this? What does faithfulness mean? Faithfulness means this. Faithfulness means to be completely reliable and true to your words. Completely reliable and true to your words. A faithful friend, for example, is with you through the ups and downs of life. They are loyal. A faithful friend is true to their words. If they say they're going to do something, they will do it, won't they? If they say they're going to be there, they'll be there. They don't break their words when they can't be bothered. An unfaithful friend, on the other hand, breaks their words whenever they feel like it. They're only there for you when life is good for them or for you. They're not loyal. They're not faithful. You see? That's the same in marriage, isn't it? A faithful spouse keeps the word they made on their marriage day to love, cherish, and adore their wife or their husband. You see, faithfulness is not just a cold thing where we do what we say we will do, but it's motivated by our affections. A faithful husband is steadfast in his love for his wife. He's not having affairs left, right, and center, and he's 100% loyal in his heart and his mind. And that's what we've been called to as Christians in our relationship with God. We're called to 100% faithfulness to God, like a husband should be 100% faithful to his wife. But I don't know about you, but when I think of the word faithfulness, my automatic feeling and thought as a Christian is how unfaithful we are. God is 100% faithful to his people, but we are often unfaithful to him. We're like the people of Israel, aren't we, so often, who prostituted themselves after other gods and chased after other lovers. So what I want to do this morning is just take some of these themes and look at what the Bible has to say about how does God's faithfulness and our unfaithfulness come together in the Bible? How does a faithful God work with an unfaithful people to make them faithful to him? If he's faithful and we're unfaithful, how does that all work together? How does he make us so that we will be faithful to him? So we'll look at three things this morning together. Three nice easy points. Firstly, faithful God. Secondly, a faithful people. And thirdly, a faithful Saviour. Faithful God, faithful people, faithful Saviour. So firstly, a faithful God. So in the passage you read earlier, Moses writes this: "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." God is a God of complete and utter faithfulness. He is always reliable. He does not change. He is true to his word every single time. And he is unflinching in his loyalty to his people. You see, it's embedded in God's very nature to be faithful. It's his very character. And this is important for us to understand. Before he is faithful to us, God is faithful to himself. It's important. Before God is faithful to us, God is faithful to himself. In other words, he is completely consistent in himself. You see, if God breaks his word for 1 minute, he stops being God. He denies himself and who he is. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. "The rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." In other words, God's faithfulness is who he is. It's his very nature. And it's out of his faithfulness to himself and his very character that God is faithful to his people. In Deuteronomy, Moses introduces us to a very important word in the Bible, and it's this word, covenant. Covenant. Moses says God keeps covenant and steadfast love to those who love him. So what does that mean? What's a covenant mean? Well, a covenant is a binding agreement between two people. It's like a contract, but it's more personal. So it's like when you go into the shop, the O2 shop or wherever it is, Car Phone Warehouse, you get your phone, and you've got to sign a contract, don't you? Usually, if it's the new one, it's a ridiculous amount of money, unless you can hold on for when it gets older. You're signing a contract there, aren't you? You're making a covenant with the phone company that you can have the phone and they're going to give you certain minutes and whatever text messages and gigabytes, but you're going to pay your bill. You're making a covenant. You promise something. Well, when God makes a covenant, it's more personal with his people, but he always keeps it. You see, in our culture, we break our word with one another. It's not a big thing, is it? I break my word, it doesn't really matter too much. But God never, ever breaks a promise. Again, Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? God doesn't change his mind. God always fulfills his word. God is completely dependable. And we see that with the people of Israel, don't we, in the Old Testament. God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12 that he would make his seed into a great nation, that he would bless him and give them their own lands. And God keeps that promise through the rest of the Bible, doesn't he? He allows Abraham to have a son called Isaac at the age of 100. Isaac has a child called Jacob. Jacob has Joseph and his 11 brothers, and the nation of Israel is formed. God keeps his word. Then the people find themselves in slavery in Egypt. They find themselves suffering. And they're asking the question, has God forgotten his covenant to Abraham? Has God broken his word to bless them and give them a nation? No. He rescues his people from slavery. What's the reason given? Exodus 6, 2 to 4. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Appeared to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered what? My covenant. God says, I'm going to rescue you from slavery. I'm going to take you into the land. Why? Because I made that promise all those years ago. I've made a promise. I have not forgotten you. I am going to keep it. And we see that through the Old Testament, even though they are unfaithful to him again and again. And we see it being brought into completion in the Lord Jesus Christ. We, as Christians, are now part of that covenant, aren't we? Through the blood that was spilled at Calvary. We are stamped and sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we are his children. We are his people, rescued, blessed, and heading for the true promised land, heaven. See? God always keeps his promises. And here is the key with God's faithfulness that we need to understand this morning. God is faithful even in our sin and our weakness and our failures. I mean, the Israelites were an awful people, weren't they? They walked away from him again and again. They moaned and they groaned. They sin. They run after other lovers. But God walks with his people in faithfulness. Why? Because that is who he is. That is what he promises. He is loyal to his people. It's not like us who choose friends, depending on how we feel about them, and whether they serve us. He's not like us with our broken promises to one another. No. Even if we fail and let him down, he keeps true to his promises. It's a little bit like in Nidri. I don't know if you have it down here, but in Nidri, family is everything. Family is everything. And people are loyal to their families no matter what. Doesn't matter if you've slept with their wife as a brother. Doesn't matter if you've done each other over and had lots of fights along the way. As soon as you are needed, you're there for your family. Doesn't matter what you've done for each other. Because it's family, your blood. Same with God. He's loyal to his family. He's jealous for his people. He's faithful to them. That's good news for us this morning, isn't it, as Christians? You see, our world is in a constant change and flux, isn't it? Our world is constantly up and down. One day is good news, the next day there's bad news. Paul mentioned that today. You've gone through a difficult season, then you've got an encouragement of an adoption. Ups and downs. But this is the good news. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why we can have peace and joy this morning, no matter what is going on in our lives. He's our rock. He's our strength. He's our strong tower. He's our present help in time of need. He's the one we can rely on. This world will let us down. People we most love will let us down because we're human and we're sinful. But God never, ever will let his people down. And if you're not a Christian this morning, it's important to know this. God is only faithful to his family. Moses says he shows faithfulness and steadfast love to those who love him and keep his covenant. Psalm 25:10 says something similar. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant. See, this doesn't work if you're not a Christian because you're not part of his family. But here's the good news. You can be part of his family this morning if you would turn away from your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I deal with broken people on a day in, day out basis. Lack of hope. Lack of constancy in their lives. Same for every person who's not a Christian. We need God in our lives because he is faithful. Here's the fact, the world will let us down. This world is not faithful. Even those who love us the most are not 100% dependable. Here's the hope of the Bible. God is faithful. He does not change. He is dependable. And we need to trust in him as Christians this morning. So firstly, God is faithful to his people. Secondly, he's called us to be a faithful people. So in response to God's faithfulness, we are called to be faithful. Moses calls in these verses for the people to keep God's covenant and to love him first. That's the same with us. The thing we need to understand as Christians that we've forgotten a lot of the time is that we are in covenant with him as well. When we're saved, we come into fellowship with God. We come into relationship with God Almighty himself. It's like a marriage vow, isn't it? When we get married, you promise to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in love and to cherish, till death us do part. We've been called in exactly the same way to treat God in that way. We've been called to serve him. We've been called to love him above all else. What does that look like? What does that look like practically? It means a lot of things. It means we're called to be faithful in our affections towards God. In other words, we're called to love him first. We do not chase after idols. We forsake all others. We say no to the world and we're obedient to God. It's 100% commitment. It's not 50-50. It's 100%. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. It doesn't say part of you. It says all. I think that's everything. God's not just a little bit on the side that we can play with on a Sunday. He's not our mistress. He is our primary lover. That's the language that's used in the Old Testament. Faithfulness also means we're faithful in our service to God. You see, we've got work to do as Christians. We've been called to faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek to build his kingdom. We've been given a task, haven't we, to go out into all the world and share the gospel and make disciples. We've been called to do this faithfully because we know that Jesus is one day going to return. We're not called to serve ourselves, but to give our all for the sake of his kingdom. Also means that you've been called to faithfully serve one another here this morning. It means we're true to our word, as the psalmist says, even when it hurts us. That we'll do what we say we're going to do. We'll let our yes be yes and our no be no. It means, husbands, that we are called to faithfully love and cherish our wives. It means, parents, we're to faithfully look after them and raise them up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. It means as elders, we're called to faithfully look after our flocks. And it means as members that we love and faithfully care for one another within the church. And here's an important principle with faithfulness. Faithfulness starts not with the big things, but with the small things. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Those who can be trusted with the small things this morning will be given more things. That's the opposite of our culture, isn't it? We think if it's in the big things. We think if it's someone up the front preaching like this on a Sunday. We think it's when someone has lots and lots and lots of money. We think it's being faithful when everyone is looking. Or it's in the big decisions like where we live, or what church we worship at, or what job we do. And we do need to be faithful in those areas, but faithfulness is born in the small things first. The things we do when no one else is looking. I always say that to my guys. You are who you are when you are by yourself and no one else is watching. That is who you are. Not on a Sunday. Are you faithful then? Are we faithful in the small amounts of money that God has given us? Are we responsible in the small tasks that we're asked to do? And here's the thing, God honors those who are faithful to him in the small things. Moses wrote later on in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will. And he rattles off a chapter of blessings for the people of Israel if they are to be faithful to him. That's not to say we won't suffer, we won't go through difficult times, but it means that we'll know the goodness and the mercy of the Lord all the days of our lives. We don't know this ourselves. Have you ever had it in your life where you've honored God with the money in front of you and he just blessed you abundantly? We've honored him in our relationships and he's blessed us with godly friends. When we honor the Lord in our jobs and do a task faithfully, we are trusted and promoted. When we faithfully leave our family, our friends, and home for the gospel, Jesus said we'll be blessed in this life and the life to come. I mean, here's the trouble with many of us in the church. We don't feel the blessings of God in our lives because we're not being faithful to him. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel stuff here. That's when we use God for what we want to get. I'm talking about hearts that love God no matter what and want to honor him. They are the people on whom God's faithfulness rests. You see, the opposite is true, isn't it, when we disobey, when we're unfaithful. Moses wrote another part of the book of Deuteronomy that we don't like to talk about. There's a whole chapter of curses for the people. You see, when we are faithful to God, he will discipline us. The favor of God will not rest on our lives. We cannot expect to move forward in the Christian life while being disobedient to God. It doesn't work like that. I mean, if I cheated on my wife again and again and again and again, would I have a healthy relationship? It's an easy answer. I don't think so. She's a very forgiving woman. She lives with me, but she's not that forgiving. We might still be married. She might stick with me because of the covenant that she's made with me. She wouldn't trust me, would she? She wouldn't communicate with me maybe the way that she used to. Might still be married, but we're living in separate rooms. Well, that's exactly the same with our relationship with God. When we're in persistent sin, in our relationship with God, it cannot be healthy. We will not be trusted. Our communication, our prayer life will be down the pan. And many of us might be feeling like that today. Many of us look at our lives, have seen this in Christian lives again and again, particularly when people get to the midlife crisis in their lives, in the 40s and 50s, they look back and they think, I should be further on than I am. Why hasn't Paul called me to be an elder or a deacon of this church? Or asked me to have more responsibility? Many of us look at our prayer lives and we feel there's a real block in it. Many of us don't feel close to God. And one of the reasons is because we're being unfaithful. If that is us this morning, the Lord calls us to repent. He calls us to stop sinning, to to stop playing with sin and turn to Him. And here's the promise of the Bible. God is gracious, isn't He? Listen to these words. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it means turning away and back to His grace. Here's a problem as we talk about faithfulness. As I said at the beginning, we're all unfaithful, aren't we? If we're honest with ourselves. We cheat on God left, right, and center. We let God down with the decisions that we make. We chase after other lovers. We seek our own kingdom instead of the kingdom of God. Proverbs 20, verse 6 asks this question to us this morning. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man, who can find him? And that's the story of the Bible. Think about Adam. He was faithless as a father and a husband. Think about Abraham. He doubted the promises of God and he slept with Hagar. Think about Moses, who lost his rag and didn't enter the promised land. Think about David. He was an adulterer and a murderer and a liar. Think about Jonah, who tried to run away from the plans of God. Think about Peter, who denied God 3 times. Every Bible character you come across was a failure. Every Bible character you come across was unfaithful. And every believer will be unfaithful to God at some point in their lives. It's a fact. So what are we going to do? Are we going to be lost for eternity? Is there any chance for us? Well, yes. We have a faithful Savior. Because everyone was faithless in the Bible. You should have corrected me at this point, apart from one. Jesus. He was faithful, was He not, where we are not? He was the second Adam. He was the true Israel. He was the faithful King. He stood in the gap and He died for us on the cross to redeem us and to forgive us. And here's the thing. Jesus is faithful to His people. He never lets His people down. He sticks with them through the ups and downs of life. Listen to these words from John 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise them up on the last day. Jesus says, I will not lose anyone who comes to me. He will hold us fast if we are His children. We're going to sing a song which is, I think, is new to you guys, but I love this verse. It says this, when I fear my faith will fail, what's going to happen? Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, who's going to hold me fast? He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. And it ends with this. He must hold me fast. He must hold me fast. One of the things I've learned as a Christian, I've been a Christian for 13 years, we do not hold on to Christ, but He holds on to us. We do not hold on to Christ, but as Christians, He is holding on to us. He's faithful to the end. He will keep us to the end, even when we are unfaithful to Him. Remember those verses from 2 Timothy 2:13? If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Think about Peter in the New Testament. Probably committed one of the most heinous crimes and sins in the Bible. Why? Because he tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. He tried to get in the way of God's eternal plan of salvation. And later on, when he said, I will not deny you, just 12 hours later, he denied Jesus. But listen to these words that Jesus says just before this whole incident happens. In Luke 22, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Aren't those amazing words? You're going to cock up right royally here. But you will not walk away from me finally and fully because I'm praying for you. And when Jesus dies and he rises again, he goes straight for Peter, doesn't he? He says, you are forgiven. And Peter is restored and goes on to be a pillar of the early church. You see, a true believer always bounces back. A true believer has been prayed for by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question always comes back when we're thinking about these things. Well, can I just do what I want then? If God's going to be faithful anyway, he's praying for me, might as well just get on my life, be faithless to him. Of course, the answer to that question is a big, fat no. You see, here is the thing. Those who are believers always bounce back. Even though we might stumble, even though we might fall, even though we might fall into sin, we always return to Jesus. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in each one of us. It's like a boomerang, isn't it? If you throw a boomerang right and correctly, what happens? You throw it out, and what happens? It comes back. Doesn't matter how far you throw it. It's going to go around, and it's going to come back again. It's the same with us. A true believer keeps going to the end. They stumble, and they trip, but they run to Jesus, they repent, and they get back on the horse again. They persevere, don't they? They endure. Here's our encouragement this morning. In our weakness, in our failure, in our faithlessness, he will not let our souls be lost. There's a park across the road from my house. I just live on this main road street, and then across the road is just a little play park. And my little girl, she's 2.5 years old. She loves to go there, the little slides, just going to play there. And so we go out the door, and I always tell her, you need to hold my hand. We're going across the main road here. Hold my hand, don't let go. But what does Isla do? She immediately wants to take her hand from my hand and run across the road. Don't know what it is in little children, but they just want to do that, don't they? She tries to loosen her grip any way she can. She's fidgeting in my hands all the time. She tries to get away. So what do? Do I say, oh, go on then. Have a little run across the road and learn a little lesson here. No. I hold onto that hand even tighter. And if she's really being boisterous, and she's really trying to get out of my hand, I pick her up. And I walk her across to that park. And that is what Christ does for us. Even if our faith this morning is a flicker in the dark, that is enough for the Spirit of God to fan it into flame. He will hold us fast to the end because he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. See, if you go away from a sermon like this and you think, oh, God's faithful, I can do what I want. You have not understood the gospel. If you go away from a sermon like this and you think, do you know what? God has been faithful to me. I need to grow my faithfulness to him because of what Christ has done for me. Then you have understood the gospel. Christians grow in faithfulness not by trying harder, but as they see the faithfulness of their God. As they see him hold them, they want to worship him with their hearts, minds, and souls. They want to fight for his kingdom because he is worthy and beautiful. They want to keep their word to him because he has kept his word to them. Let me end with this verse from Hebrews 10:23. It says this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. We are an unfaithful generation. We are an unfaithful people at times. But Christ is holding us fast. And so let us respond faithfully in worship to him with all that we have. Let us hold fast the confession. Let us adore him. Let us love him more than anything else. Let us worship him with all that we have because he is worthy. And I pray as you look upon the beauty of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and you walk in step with the Spirit, you as a church and we as a people might grow in faithfulness to Christ. Amen.